Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The Lutheran Church in the Philippines is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. It's a southeastern suburb of the City of London, and I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you along to a service. We worship every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We also have a mission outreach in Raynham, Kent. We worship there the first Sunday of the month at 3 p.m. at Raynham Methodist Church. And Pastor Jamie Krieger and I work with Redeemer Lutheran Church in Bush Fair, Harlow, and they meet for worship every Sunday morning at 11. Again, we encourage you to come along to any of these congregations or go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory tab, and find the nearest Lutheran congregation to where you live, and go along and join them for a service of worship. Today on the Lutheran Inquisitor, we're very pleased to have President James Cedeniola of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines. President Cedeniola was elected in 2004, and he served as president of that church body since. He was a graduate of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Baguio City in the Philippines. And President Cedeniola is in Europe attending a few conferences in Germany, and he's visiting us here in the UK, visiting some of the Filipino members who live here. James, it's lovely to have you with us, and welcome to Lutheran Radio UK.
Thank you, and it's an honor and a great privilege to be here and to speak to people throughout the world by your program.
Now, first of all, we've got to start by discussing the terrible tragedy that's happened in the Philippines recently, the typhoon. Can you give us an update on what's going on in the Philippines, how folks are coping with that, and particularly how it's affected the Lutheran Church in the Philippines?
Well, the typhoon that hit the country, the central part of the Philippines, was really devastating. So many lives were lost, so many properties were damaged, and especially we have three congregations in the area where the churches are also either damaged or totally destroyed. And we have about 285 members who were also affected, and most of their homes are lost. At present, relief efforts to meet the needs of the people are being done to many parts of the country, and I'm grateful to not only to the Lutheran community, but actually to many nations that are ready to come and help the people there.
Can you tell us about some of the relief efforts that have been going on, and particularly what the Lutheran Church in the Philippines is doing to assist with relief efforts?
Yeah, many nations, as I've said, and many non-government organizations are all concentrated in providing relief to people. And in particular, the Lutheran Church in the Philippines, it was so unfortunate that when the typhoon hit the country, I was already in Frankfurt. And I talked to one of the district presidents, and together with the ALERT team, we call it ALERT, Active Lutheran Emergency Response Team of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines, they worked together, visited the area, and evaluated how they could be of help, so that today they continue to provide relief goods to these people. And actually this morning I saw some of the pictures, how our members volunteered to repack things so that it could be delivered the soonest possible time.
Now, if any of our listeners would like to help by contributing to the relief effort, is there a particular way that you think is best to do that?
They could either contact me or the Lutheran Church in the Philippines so that we could communicate as to how they could be of help. They could help in many ways, like what we did in the Lutheran Church in the Philippines. All the members of the church donated cash and goods, and also some used clothing, which we delivered immediately to the community, not only among the members, but to the whole community as well.
Well, you and the members of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines and all of the people in the Philippines will certainly be in our prayers as you continue to rebuild your lives. And we certainly do pray that, that God will bless you. We were talking a little bit earlier about how you think this is almost in many ways, in a strange way, brought people closer to God. Can you elaborate a little on that?
Yes. The Filipino people is known to be a resilient people that in the midst of these devastations and calamities, you know, I think 3 weeks before the storm hit the nation or the country, there was a very strong earthquake close also to, it's in the central part of the Philippines. And people still are not hopeless, but they remained hopeful, they remained strong, and even these calamities work for the good of those Filipinos, because I was told churches were filled with people immediately after that, and I hope that it will last forever, that the churches will fill. And people also really appreciated helps and assistance coming not only from churches, Christian churches, but even from people who do not attend the church.
Now, you mentioned the Lutheran Church in the Philippines. Can we talk a little bit about its history? How did it begin?
Well, I would say that the Lutheran Church in the Philippines began with the radio program. I believe that the Lutheran Church in the Philippines was hatched by God at a golf course close to our seminary now. A rich American was playing golf, and one of the caddies, a Filipino, was asked. He was a young man. Why are you here and not in school? And this young man said, well, I don't have money. My parents are poor. So why don't you come to America? He brought this man to America. And when he was in America, this rich American gifted this young Filipino man with a radio. And he listened to the Lutheran Hour. And while listening to the Lutheran Hour, he got interested in the doctrines of the church. He communicated. He was sent a seminarian. And finally, he became a member of the church. And then he went to St. Louis. And before the war, he wanted to go back to the Philippines because he said, I want the Filipinos to hear this wonderful gospel. But he was prevented by the war in 1946. He was able finally to go to the Philippines. I'm referring to Reverend Dr. Alvaro Carino, who was the first missionary. And again, in the central part of the Philippines, many people also listened to the Lutheran Hour through the Far East Broadcasting. And one man got interested again in the doctrine that he heard through the radio. And this man taught also what he learned from the radio to his relatives and friends. So that when the missionary went to the south, they called this missionary, and, you know, as a confessional Lutheran would do, he tried to examine the people and he confirmed them. You know, this man, the family name or surname of this man is Fermin Satan. And we have a newsletter in the church at the time. The heading was Satan, now a Lutheran. Eventually, this man joined or entered the seminary. Again, our newsletter said Satan enters the Lutheran Theological Seminary. And then finally, when he graduated, he said, I have to change my name. So he went to the office of the president, have his name changed, because he said, I am too embarrassed to introduce myself as Pastor Satan of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines. So the Lutheran Hour broadcast plays a very significant role. I would say that I believe so much in the words of the scripture in Romans 8:28. God works for the good of all who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose. We never thought that God would work that way, but many things came out because of those things.
And the Lutheran Church in the Philippines has continued to grow until this day. Can you give us an estimate of how many folks belong to the church, how many churches there are, how many pastors you have?
Yes. Unfortunately, after many years of existence, from its humble beginning, the Lutheran Church grew, but we had a temporary setback when we had a crisis that led to the split of the church. And for more than 2 decades, we had a split, but thank God that we finally get reunited and reconciled in 2000, 12. We had now, there is now again one Lutheran church in the Philippines. And to this time, the Lutheran church in the Philippines comprises of 170 congregations, served by 55 ordained ministers, and we have 49 mission stations. Mission stations are places where the pastor together with the members go and work and open a congregation that eventually after 3 years, we hope and pray it will become established congregation. The goal of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines now is to establish 100 new congregations by the year 2017, which is the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation.
And you mentioned the reunification in 2012. What happened to cause this split? And then how did you, by God's grace, you bring the two church bodies back together again?
Yes, it was a leadership crisis and a little on finances that led the church to split. And the church suffered so many setbacks. But we continued to dialogue. We continued to talk. And I believe, of course, eventually, I mean, primarily, it is God's work, but He used us to show sincerity to one another that eventually we just said, let's get together. The church has suffered so much. And so we had a convention in 2012.
And things are working out well now?
Very good. Things are working very well. The pastors from each group are, the bonding is getting stronger. And the members of also of the different congregations are now happy that we are one again.
Wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the special ministries that the Lutheran Church in the Philippines do?
We concentrate on three things. One is, I call it the MRS. First is mission. For the previous years, because of our problem that we had, we concentrated so much on the problem and we neglect the main duty of the church, that is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So now we are doing mission, and a lot of things are especially on education and information dissemination that we mention, we do preaching on mission, Bible studies on mission. We also had conferences. Second is, of course, reconciliation. We have just attained that, but we want that to be strengthened. We want that to, the relationship to become stronger. And third is on stewardship. So that we are able to sustain our ministry from our own resources. The Lutheran Church in the Philippines is gifted with so many prime properties. And so we are concentrating on how we can maximize the use of these properties to generate income, not only to support our workers, but especially to support the ministry of the church.
We've also mentioned the seminary.
Yes,
can you tell us a little bit about how the Lutheran Church in the Philippines views education?
We believe so much that for us to continue with the heritage, to be confessional, we need to have the seminary really strengthened. And so one of our focuses also is theological education. For those who are qualified, we want them to go to the seminary proper, but for those who have worked, we still have what we call theological education by extension. And how do we do that? Every Saturday, in one circuit, people gather, those especially who are functioning as sometimes lay preachers, they go every Saturday, and for a quarter, we choose a course that they will take. So to us to strengthen and especially make them more confessionally based.
And so you have like evangelists, lay preachers?
Yes, we have ordained ministers. We also have deacons and deaconesses. We also have evangelists and another, we call them local pastors. We call them local because they can be called and serve only in a congregation where they are members. So that if there is a congregation that has no clergy or ordained minister, the person who got the training can be called, but he will only be able to serve that congregation with the preaching of the word and also the administration of the sacrament. That we call them the local pastors.
And you also mentioned the alert team. I'd like to hear more about that, if that's all right.
The alert team, the active Lutheran emergency response team, the LCMS one time invited the Lutheran Church in the Philippines to send people to a conference on reduction on disasters. So we sent people, and we have in the different districts representatives, and now when there are calamities like the typhoon that hit the country, we activate this. They serve as volunteers and going to the community that are affected. They assist and then finally make recommendations to the national office on how we can address and meet the needs of the people affected by calamities.
And you mentioned your ties with the LCMS. How do you view your church relations with other churches? I know that we are in fellowship as well through the ILC, but how do the folks in the Philippines see their place within world Christianity?
The Lutheran Church in the Philippines view our partnership or connections, relationships with other churches as a big blessing. Big blessing in the sense that so many resources are being directed to us through these connections, like in the area of theological education. We remain confessional because people from the different parts of the world who are our partners help us train our students. They send professors to come and teach part-time or even just a course. So this is one of the blessings. And also, this is an opportunity for us also to journey together, venture together, as we strengthen our mission ministries.
And your seminary, how many folks are attending that at the moment?
At the moment, we have 17 students, and 10 of these come once a month for a week. And these are already pastors, but they continue to undergo further education. And we have the resident students. We have first year, we have second year, we have vicars. And we don't have fourth year, but we will have it next year. We will have graduation.
And you had mentioned that you were in Frankfurt already when this terrible disaster struck. I know you were attending a conference with the International Lutheran Council. We're meeting with the Lutheran World Federation. Could you tell us a little bit about what that conference was about, what happened there, and any results that came from that?
One of the reasons why I went to Germany is because of the meeting between the LWF and the Lutheran World Federation and the International Lutheran Council. And I'm a member of the executive committee. John, you are also a member. And I was chosen to be one of the representatives. So the bishop of Germany said, since you are coming, I want you to visit our seminary. So I joined the symposia in their seminary. Then we went to Wittenberg for the meeting. And the meeting was, I would say, very cordial. We openly discussed relations, especially churches that have both dual membership. They are both members of the LWF and they are members of the ILC. And I told the group that this thing was brought out one time in the ILC conferences, in the ILC conference. And the ILC said, well, we respect the autonomy, the independence of each church. So it's up to the church to decide. If they want to become members of the two groups, then that's okay. But we do not force. And another thing that came out, although I think was the communique that will be released to all Lutheran Church partners.
And so it was a cordial meeting. And do you think steps in at least understanding where each group is coming from, that this was advantageous in that area?
I believe it is advantageous in the area, or in the sense that though we came from different church bodies, now we can talk as brothers in the faith. Although I could sense, and I believe there are so many differences between the LWF and the ILC membership.
You mentioned that we both serve on the executive committee for the International Lutheran Council. You're the representative from Asia. Again, can I just get a little bit of your perspective on what that means, how important the ILC is, and how you view the work that the ILC and the executive of the ILC do?
First is, as a representative of Asia, one of my responsibilities is to coordinate these different Lutheran church bodies who are members of the ILC so that every 3 years, we will have a regional meeting where we discuss issues that will confront us, the issues that are on our table, and what are the challenges. And at the same time, we also try to think of how we can cooperate with one another. And as a part of the executive committee, of course, work together. And in this committee, I bring to the committee whatever concerns that I see that needs to be discussed, and that where the people from Asia needs to be helped.
And again, I think from my perspective, I think it's been really exciting and challenging. There have been a number of Lutheran churches that are approaching the ILC now to explore membership within the ILC. And I think we live in a really exciting time for the ILC.
That's very true. And I also believe that, we do not force any group to come to join the ILC, but, the ILC is open to anyone who would ask for help or who would seek for kind of an assistance, especially when it comes to being a confessional church.
Now, we've talked about the role of the pastor and some of the other ministries that take place within the Lutheran Church in the Philippines. Are there any specific things to help us understand how the ministry actually takes place within your church body?
We regularly, every year, have our youth camp. And in our youth camp, we gather the young people for a week of study of the scripture, of devotions, and opportunities for young people to have fellowship with one another. And this is sometimes very exclusive. We do not invite non-Lutherans. And we also have, of course, our vacation Bible school. But I noticed when I was I got elected as president, or even when I was a pastor of a congregation, I noticed that many of our young men and women are active during their youth when they attend youth camps. But once they get married, all they do is just pray, and obey. I mean, they come to church, give their offerings and things like that. But they don't get involved in the ministry of the church. So I thought of how can I bring these people together again? I thought of a sports fest. We call it the Lutheran Sports Fest. And it started with just three congregations that gathered for 2 days. They gathered for 2 days, almost similar to what we do in the youth camp, where in the morning we have devotions, then we have Bible studies, and then we have lectures on the theme of the sports fest. And in the afternoon, we have games like outdoor games, basketball. You know, Filipinos love basketball. We do volleyball, high jump, and all these sports. And in the evening, we have what we call the literary musical contest, where each church would prepare for a quartet, solo, making use of the instruments, musical instruments. And this has been going on. And last year in May, we always have it in the month of May, we had more than 300 of all ages, I think from 14 to, I think the oldest might be 50. Because anyone is welcome as long as you are strong enough to play or to join, you are welcome. So we do this. And as I've said, this is being well known not only in the community where we conduct this, but throughout the Philippines, because now we are opening this and we invite even non-Lutherans to this activity.
Now, you mentioned that the Lutheran Church in the Philippines really had its start in many respects because of the Lutheran Hour. And radio, as you might imagine, is very close to the heart of Lutheran Radio UK. How do the communications aspect of your ministry and missions, how have they worked in the past, and what do you have in mind for the future?
The radio program was very instrumental in the start of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines. And the Lutheran Hour has been in the Philippines for a long time, but unfortunately it stopped its operation. And before the operation stopped, I was privileged to request that the Lutheran Hour would allow me to speak and have a radio program. And I had it for almost 2 years, 1 year, 10 months, I think. And the Lutheran Hour pays for that. However, the Lutheran Hour closed, and the manager of the radio station owned by the Roman Catholic Church talked to me and said, James, you're doing a good job here. You have so many listeners. I will allow you to continue with your program for 2 months without paying anything. But after that, I'm sorry, if you can find a sponsor then we have, you have to stop. So it went for 2 years. Unfortunately, I was not able to find a sponsor. There was one time I was able to find Luther Academy, who helped me again continue with the program. I had another pastor for a year, I think, or more, and stopped. So in our mission goal, I am looking forward to reaching two people, not only through the pulpit, but also through media. And this especially could be by print or by radio, because it's very expensive to do it on TV. And by radio, it's so easy because you go and reach the people in their own dialects. You don't have to use English. You have to speak in the dialects of the people that they can understand. And in that way, you are greatly sowing the seed. So I'm looking forward to have a program like you do here, also in the Philippines. Not really putting up a Lutheran radio station, but maybe doing programs in the different stations in the Philippines, so that you will have a table where you can preach the word, the gospel of our Lord.
And you are here in the UK. Can you tell us about your visit to the UK? What's its purpose, I guess?
I think it was you, John. We were in Canada the last time, and you said, why don't you come? And I want to talk to you. And then we met in Atlanta, and you said you want to talk to me. And we didn't have the time to talk. Finally, in Lithuania in August, I said, I have the opportunity to be in Europe. And you said, why don't you come and speak to our radio program? And I thank God, I thank you for this rare chance to be able to come. And I had so many purposes in coming here. One is, of course, I was also invited to speak and preach at Luther Tyndale Lutheran Church last Sunday. And then immediately after the service, we had potluck, and I tried to email Filipinos, Lutherans, who are in London. So I think I have about more than 20 people, Filipinos, who showed up. After the potluck, we gathered for, again, the preaching of the word. And I had the chance to know where they are, how are they now. And then not only that, but even in the afternoon, I had the chance to preach again to a group of Filipinos, because this lady is not a Lutheran, but she is my townmate. She asked me to do the blessing of their flat. And I said, I will do that. But I'm so happy that when I went there, more than actually about 30 Filipinos showed up. So I did the blessing, but especially I did the preaching of the word. And again, now, of course, is my last appointment, my official appointment, talking to you. Then tomorrow, actually tonight, I think a group of Filipinos again will be coming to my cousin's place. Another opportunity for me to sow the seed. And finally, on Thursday, some of the Lutherans that I met last Sunday will be coming, because on Friday I will be leaving. So I would say that this trip allowed me to do multitask. Now, of course, not only seeing beautiful sights in London, like what we did yesterday. I went to some sites and do some cruise on the river and everything. But in the midst of this, I always find it a chance to sow the seed.
I think one of the things that we find really important is to find out where our brothers and sisters in Christ from other Lutheran churches who live in the UK are, so that we can minister to them and provide them, as you say.
Yes, I am on that direction, John. In fact, before we dismissed last Sunday, I appointed one man and one woman to bring, get all the names, the email addresses, actually even the postal address and their telephone numbers, so that I can, once I get home, I'll have this email to you and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in England, especially the workers, the pastors, will have the opportunity to go and see them, so that this Lutherans would continue in the faith, and they would continue to attend the church that remain faithful to the confession.
And that is our prayer, that we can help to grow, foster, and nurture their faith in Jesus our Savior.
Yes, I think we can work together through our prayers, and especially, of course, I would like the ELCA for really the concern and the love to fellow Lutherans. And I hope that as you minister to these Filipinos, you know, Filipinos love to gather together, and there will be more Filipinos who will be become Lutherans. And when they come home, they are good contacts because they came from the UK, and many will be surprised. How did you become a Lutheran? And so it's easier for us to reach them and their families when they go back to the Philippines because they become Lutherans here.
Terrific. James, lovely to see you again. Our richest blessings to you, your family, to all the members of the Lutheran Church in the Philippines. You and your country will be in our prayers as you continue to recover from this horrible disaster. And we pray God's blessing to you and a safe journey home. Please take our greetings to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Philippines. And I look forward to seeing you in the very near future.
Thank you for this rare privilege to be able to speak on your program. And all I can say is, Mispa, may God watch between you and me while we are away from each other. And more power to your program. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.